At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
A warmer from the low. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hughes, and now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And we've got a great podcast for you. It's in the second segment. I'm going to be joined by Sean Paul. He does a great job with his own podcast, the Making the Madness Podcast. You're able to catch that podcast wherever you get this one: Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify. List goes on and on. Also does a great job over there at the Field of 68. In the second segment, we're going to be talking about just how to approach Villanova moving forward with Jay Wright stepping down. Can we expect them to continue to play the slow and methodical style under Kyle Neptune, who's going to be coming in from Fordham? What did we all see from Fordham last season that leads us to believe that Kyle Neptune will have success slash a lack thereof at Villanova? We're also going to be taking a look at teams that have been hitting the transfer portal and the teams that have been doing a very good job of it. And then there's a conference that talked about a little bit on the podcast, I feel like it's worth repeating, has been doing a very, very, very bad job of being able to attack the transfer portal. So we are going to be talking about that with our good friend Sean in the second segment. And in the final segment, going to give you guys a little bit of a recap as to everything that we wound up seeing in college basketball on Thursday. Not as rambunctious of a day as we wound up seeing on Wednesday, with Oscar Tshiebwe returning to school, Kofi Coburn going to the NBA draft, Jay Wright retiring. I also think that you wound up seeing Kansas decide to throw like 57 parades or something like that and commit 57 rules violations that they will not be charged for. I'm kidding, of course, on the Kansas part, but with that said, it felt like everything wound up hitting the board in college basketball on Wednesday. Thursday was a little bit more laid back, so you've got that going on. And if there is ever a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, that you want addressed on this podcast, you've got one of two ways to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at gunit_d1. Keep in mind, letters YM, naming does not matter. So as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast by the 5-star review. Really did not wind up getting in any questions for the podcast today. Obviously, we've got a very, very long offseason, so do not be shy about firing in those questions. And we're never shy about reaching out to this man for his insights. Sean Paul of the Making the Madness Podcast in the Field of 68 going to be chatting with me next about Jay Wright, what we've seen in the transfer portal, and so much more right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back in Movie Las Vegas. For Ghost Ghost, with myself, Greg Epius, and now a part of the Veasan Family Podcast. And it is great to be joined by our guest, as this man does absolutely tremendous work covering the game of college basketball. He's got a podcast of his own. That would be the March. That would be the Making the Madness podcast. You're able to find that podcast or view your podcast. This man does great work over there with the Mountain West Wire. Field of 68. You're able to catch this man in a wide variety of places, as it is Sean Paul joining me on the podcast. You're able to follow Sean on Twitter at Sean Paul CBB. That's S-E-A-N on Sean. And Sean, it is great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Greg. Always happy to join and talk some college basketball. It's never a quiet time, especially the transfer portal.
Absolutely. And typically around this time, we have a lot of things sorted out with regards to coaching moves, but typically we wind up getting one unexpected move. Typically you'll find like one guy that winds up going to the NBA every like 2 years or something like that. And this year it's Jay Wright deciding that he is stepping down at Villanova, and Kyle Neptune, who was the head coach at Fordham this last year, is going to be taking over the program. I was talking about this on the podcast yesterday, and that I feel like we aren't going to know what this is going to mean for Villanova until we wind up seeing who all winds up staying slash going from the program, what Kyle Neptune is able to bring in the transfer portal, because as we know, Villanova, they haven't necessarily hit that too hard in recent years. But I take a look at this, and certainly it's not ideal for Villanova. No question, when you wind up losing a guy like Jay Wright, there's no replacing him. But I feel like given the circumstances, they've done a relatively solid job of being able to get things into place.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's different than what Duke and North Carolina had going on. I mean, because those brands will get recruits no matter what. That's not taking credit away from John Shire, Hubert Davis, or their respective staffs. But it's different because Villanova does things differently. They develop players. They usually don't go after transfers. I expect Kyle Neptune to do that differently. I expect him to go after transfers, still recruit at a high level, but I think it'll be a little bit of different Villanova basketball. I don't think it'll be the same kind of thing. We'll see, because obviously Neptune learned from Jay Wright, but in his year at Fordham, he added 6 or 7 transfers. So we'll see if that's the kind of thing he ends up doing at Villanova. He might have to next year, because that roster is looking highly questionable at the moment. And with Jay Wright, I thought that was a top 25 team just because Jay Wright was there and that he'll figure out ways to get it going. If Justin Moore was back and healthy, we'll see if that ends up happening or if he's going to miss time next year. In the immediate future, I think they have some work to do in the transfer portal. And I think there's going to be high expectations for Kyle Neptune. And I feel like it's almost unfair a little bit because it's totally different. It's not Jay Wright. It's a head coach that's coached 1 year in college basketball going into a situation where he's replacing an all-time great. That's not something that's easy to do.
Yep, we certainly should not have the same expectations for Kyle Neptune as we had for Jay Wright. That would be completely unfair. Like, I want to bring up the fact that I'm a Green Bay Packers fan. Whoever winds up taking over for Aaron Rodgers when it's all said and done, it can't compare that guy to Aaron Rodgers in year number one because, well, you're trying to replace a guy that is an all-time legend.
Things worked out, though, when Brett Favre was gone, you got Aaron Rodgers. That probably won't happen the third time. Like, you guys got lucky that time, but I don't know about next time.
Yeah, that was one in which I'm a Green Bay Packers fan. I've known two starting quarterbacks in my 29 years on the face of planet Earth, and I will tell anyone that talks about my NFL fandom that I've gotten extremely lucky with that regard. I don't think any other program, any other team has been able to have quite that level of success when it comes from going from one legend to another, because that just does not wind up happening. So I do think that we need to temper our expectations for Kyle Neptune. And I do think that this is going to be a little bit of a different looking team, because you take a look at how Fordham wound up playing last year. And I thought that in year number one, Kyle Neptune actually did a pretty darn good job. Fordham was a little bit quicker than Villanova, no question. Villanova, bottom 25 team in terms of raw possessions per game. Fordham, they were more around 120th out of the 358 D1 teams. So I do think that with regards to a lot of the basics of Villanova, they're going to be still there, because Kyle Neptune did wind up playing under, did wind up coaching under Jay Wright. But I do expect Villanova to play maybe a little bit of a different style and perhaps kick up the tempo just a tad under Kyle Neptune.
Yeah, that could certainly be the case. I'm just curious to see how it plays out, because Hubert Davis, I feel like he couldn't have played a more different style than what Roy Williams did, and it seemed to work in year one.
Yeah, it's going to be so fascinating to see what we wind up getting out there, as now you've got four new coaches out there in the Big East, by the way. Not something that I think a lot of people were expecting, as we do have Sean Paul, does a great job with the Making the Madness podcast, joining me right here on the podcast. Did you have something?
Yeah, and what, two more new ones last year?
Yeah, because we've seen a lot of turnover over there. I mean, with the SEC, we wound up seeing six new coaches as well. So there's been a lot of turnover when it comes to the Power Five conferences. And the one that really surprises me that we haven't seen turnover in, I feel like that's a good segue, we really didn't see any movement with regards to the Pac-12. We were thinking midseason that perhaps Bobby Hurley would be out of the job. Perhaps you'd be seeing a little bit of a change at Washington. Cal, it has not necessarily been great, but, well, it's Cal and Viking Jones. When you take a look at that, it couldn't do any worse than what Viking Jones wound up doing. So, at the very least, Mr. Fox has that going for him. But I was a little bit surprised with regards to the lack of movement out there in the Pac-12, just because that's a conference in which you wound up having three or four good teams, and then everyone else was pretty much hot garbage this year.
Yeah, I think the one that could have made a move that didn't was maybe Stanford with Jared Haas. They decided not to make a move, but it'll be interesting if this is a kind of make or break year for him. Obviously, with Stanford, it's a tough gig because the academics and all that, they have like Ivy League academic standards, and it's not easy to get transfers in, almost impossible if they're not an Ivy League transfer. So they can lose transfers, they can't get transfers. That makes things increasingly difficult nowadays. And while they've had NBA talent, they've had a lot of one and done NBA talent, and that doesn't really help you build a program. So this could be it for Jared Haas, maybe, if they don't make a tournament this year. Probably same deal for Bobby Hurley. If I had to guess, I think Arizona State made the right choice keeping him another year, because they did figure it out down the stretch. It just, the team wasn't talented enough to make the tournament without Marcus Bagley, and I think we saw that. Losing Jalen Graham is going to hurt if they can get Marcus Bagley back, add a few more pieces from the transfer portal. They've already added two Nevada transfers, Desmond Cambridge, Warren Washington, and then Devin Cambridge, a brother of Desmond Cambridge from Auburn. I think they could be competitive. I don't think they're a tournament team, but I think they can be competitive enough to maybe get him another year after this one. We'll see what ends up happening, but I think Washington, Stanford, and Arizona State are kind of the three heading into next year where you're like, all right, if something doesn't happen this year, these three could open.
Yeah, I do agree with you there. I think it's going to be interesting to see what winds up happening with a lot of these Pac-12 schools. And we've noticed that we haven't seen a lot of movement with regards to these Pac-12 schools, with regards to the transfer portal. Although the one conference that I've noticed that the teams in general just have not really hit the transfer portal, that'd be the Big Ten. It feels like the Big Ten is just a little bit behind the times. Now, I will give credit to one school, Minnesota, being able to get Dawson Garcia. That is a huge haul for them. Talon Cooper, he's someone that's going to be able to contribute. You just need bodies in general, because I actually thought Minnesota played hard. I thought that they gave a lot of effort last year, but when you wind up running a six-man rotation, when you wind up getting to game 25, those guys are just gassed, and you wind up seeing them in the second half of games towards back out of the season wind up breaking down. So if Ben Johnson is able to get a 7 to 8 man rotation, I actually think that things are going to be looking up for Minnesota. But I do take a look at the Big Ten in general. Other than that, and the fact that you do wind up having Tanner Holden going to Iowa State, it'll give them a little bit of credit there. But that said, with regards to the Big Ten as an entirety, they just haven't embraced the transfer portal the way that you'd like to see.
No, and you did mention Dawson Garcia there. That's a good move, but there's one thing that I'm like extremely concerned about with the way that roster is constructed right now, is Jameson Battle playing the four, Dawson Garcia playing the five. They'll be great offensively. That might be like one of the worst, if not the worst, 4/5 man duo defensively in power conference basketball. Like, that's going to be a legit problem for them. But in terms of other teams making moves in the portal, I'm looking at Purdue. Like, you have to make something happen here. Like, you're not just going to put Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer out there and expect them to do great right away, I feel like. You need to make a move. Eric Hunter transferred today as we're recording this. Nigel Pack is someone I think he visited there. If he ends up going there, that'd be big. But you need to find someone that can help you in the guard at the guard spots, because you're either running freshmen out there or you're saying, hey, maybe Ethan Morton can run the point or Brandon Newman can run the point. None of that is ideal. So ideally, you just go and add one of the many transfer portal point guards and see what happens.
And what I think is so befuddling about the Big Ten as well is that you just notice that these schools, they don't wind up making moves year in and year out. You really don't see a lot of hires, obviously. Maryland did wind up having to make one because Mark Turgeon, he wound up leaving at season's end. So Kevin Willard, he's going to be going into Maryland, and I think that he's going to do a solid job with the Terps. I don't think that this is a Maryland program that we should be expecting top 10s from them anytime soon. I think that they'll be a team that's consistently competing for the NCAA tournament, and that's all well and good. But you do take a look at the Big Ten in general, and there's a very distinct style out there. These teams are not going to play very fast. A lot of them are going to be maneuvering through their bigs, but now a lot of these big men that you wound up seeing from last year, a la a Kofi Coburn, is now out of the fold. Wisconsin, they wind up losing Johnny Davis, and without him, they probably wouldn't have been an NCAA tournament team last year. So I feel like a lot of these schools out there in the Big Ten, they're sort of at a crossroads, and they're just doing nothing to address the glaring holes that they have on their rosters.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you got to attack the transfer portal nowadays with how prevalent it is. I think you have to make moves there.
We are in lockstep there, as we do have Sean Paul of Making the Madness joining me right here on the podcast. That's a great podcast, and he also does terrific work over there at the Field of 68. And just when you take a look at schools that have been hitting the transfer portal, we were just talking about the schools that have not been doing such a good job, or a few that stand out to you, because I was mentioning this on the podcast a few days ago. Even though they aren't bringing in anyone that wound up averaging like 15-plus points per game or anything like that, Wyoming bringing in three guys from the Pac-12, three, as a matter of fact, from either USC or UCLA. I really like what they're doing there. Our good friend Evan Miyakawa, he does his rankings with regards to schools and their transfer ranking, the guys that they're bringing in. He's right now got Bryant at number one, and I've been impressed by them. I don't know if I put them number one, but I would certainly put them in my top five for what they've been able to do. Or a few schools that stand out to you that you like what they've been able to do this offseason.
Yeah, Bryant's certainly up there. I just love what David Patrick's done at Sacramento State so far. This team was not very talented the past number of years. Really, I mean, they've been one of the worst programs in Division I basketball for several years. Aaron, they had Gianni Hunt, shooting guard, who can play the... He's more of a combo from Oregon State. He can really light it up from outside. He's a good player. A Cole Maween, who was a good JUCO player transferring from Oklahoma following David Patrick, who was an assistant there. And then Callum McCray, who was recruited to UC Riverside by David Patrick when he was a head coach there. He goes from UC Riverside to Sacramento State. And then Hunter Marks, which I think might be the biggest addition of the bunch, going from Hartford to Sacramento State, a big time shooter at 6'10". He'll be a big player in the Big Sky. But another one that I like quite a bit is California Baptist. It's their first year of having eligibility to make the NIT or the NCAA tournament, and I think they have a real chance to get there with the way some of the teams in the WAC are down, like New Mexico State. They realistically won't be as good as they have been in recent years, but they have made some moves recently, like Jordan Ivy Curry, DeJuan Gordon coming in. But when you add a guy like Joe Quintana that shot 43% from outside, 12 points per game, he's a really good player coming in. Riley Batten, he started 80 games at Utah. Hunter Goodrick could be a good pick-and-roll player, paired with the returning cast of Taron Armstrong, Ty Rowell, Reed Nottage, Trey Armstrong. You have a lot of talent there with the Lancers.
Yeah, Cal Baptist needs to rein it in a little bit on defense, but this is always a team that they're able to shoot the heck out of the ball. So I do think that they're going to be able to do a really solid job. And then one that's standing out to me as well, and I feel like they've really went under the radar. We were talking a little bit earlier about Fordham, what they were able to do. One of those guys from Fordham that decided to transfer out, Antonio Day Jr., going to Coastal Carolina. They went a little bit under the radar because they didn't wind up playing in one of the marquee tournaments, but they wound up actually hosting the championship game of the Basketball Classic. They made some good moves. South Alabama, they're always very active in the portal. So I take a look at the schools out there in the Sun Belt that have embraced the transfer portal. I like what they've been able to do. And the schools that have not out there in the Sun Belt, you've noticed that they've lagged behind a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the South Alabama. They might be like the most active team in college basketball when it comes to going and getting guys in the portal, like Kevin Samuel just came in. You know, when you add that number of guys in the portal as like grad transfers with 1 year left, you're going to have to replace them. So you just get another grad transfer, a guy with several years of eligibility, and some schools prefer to just get freshmen and see what happens. But nowadays, I think the way to go would just be adding transfers mixed with some freshmen. But I feel like if you're not adding transfers, you're kind of putting yourself behind some other schools.
Yep, and a man that always puts himself ahead of the pack with regards to his college basketball work, that would be you, Sean. You do absolutely tremendous work on your own podcast, The Making, The Madness Podcast. You're able to catch that wherever you find your podcast. I know that you're also doing tremendous work over there at the Field of 68. Do a nice job being able to cover the Mountain West for Mountain West Wire. So this goes on and on, and I know that you're going to be very active this offseason. So let the good people at home know how they're able to follow you on social media and just everything that you've got going on in general.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at SeanPaulCBB for all the college basketball transfer-related things that maybe you miss. I know Greg does a good job getting them out there too, but maybe you miss something. Maybe I miss something, like Tristan Anaruna committing to Cleveland State last night. Saw it like 10 hours after it happened. That was a random one. But yeah, follow me on Twitter and you'll see all my content.
And our good friend Sean does an absolutely terrific job of being able to take a look at that. By the way, very good get there for Cleveland State. I am in lockstep with you there. And Dennis Gates is going to be out of the fold, so no question Cleveland State going to be taking a little bit of a dip there, but that is something that is certainly going to be able to help replenish what is being lost with regards to all that movement. And we are going to be taking a look at that and so much more on the other side when I recap the news and notes of college basketball that we've seen over the last 24 hours right here on Coast to Coast Soup. Myself, Craig Pearson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back to the lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Craig Hoops Spears, and now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And it is always a pleasure to get our man Sean Paul of Making the Madness, that wonderful podcast along with the Field of 68 on here. He does absolutely amazing work. 12 months out of the year, taking a look at college basketball. He delivered the goods once again today. So a big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. And trust me, going to be more fallout with what we wound up seeing with Jay Wright deciding to step down a few days ago. So that is going to be something that is going to be very, very interesting to take a look at. Just like all this player movement is very interesting to take a look at. So let's take a look at everything that we wound up getting the last 24 hours in college basketball. We saw quite a few transfers. This one not necessarily so impactful. Jay Yoon, who did wind up seeing four starts for Pepperdine this last season, but only wound up putting up right around a point and a half per contest. He has decided that he is going to be transferring elsewhere. Would be very surprised if he winds up staying out there at the D1 level. So we wound up getting that one out of the way. Nice, quick, clean, and easy. But now we've got some more impact guys, like a Bryce Washington, who he was playing at Penn the last few seasons, and he has decided that he is going to be becoming a member of the Pride of Hofstra. Wound up actually seeing quite a few starts during the 2018-19 season for Penn. Wound up averaging 7.5 points per contest, shot 40% from three-point range as a freshman. Last 2 years, big dip in production. He has not been able to stay healthy, only 21 games in total played, averaging right around 2.5 points per contest. So 6'4", buck 80 gentleman, he is going to be heading to Hofstra. I think that Hofstra is going to be able to have a little bit of something. He's not necessarily going to be that guy that winds up doing an amazing job on defense or anything like that, but is someone that's capable of guarding multiple positions, and we all know his offensive firepower, so that is going to be solid for them. Kenny White, who is playing this last season at Tennessee Tech, 6'7", a little bit of a stretch player that wound up shooting 40% from three-point range, average 10.5 points, 4 rebounds per game. He is going to be staying out there in the conference, and he is going to be heading to Murray State, a Murray State program that, no question, they are dealing with quite a bit of movement, but he was able to have success out there in this conference. Going to be a little bit of a step up. Murray State, there's higher expectations, and Tennessee Tech, we're just going to call it what it is, but someone who's 6'7", that's able to shoot threes like that, if he's able to improve his rebounding just a tad, should be a very good fit there for Murray State. Joey St. Pierre, who was playing at UW-Milwaukee this last season, was actually a good rim protector. 6.3 points, right around 5.5 rebounds, a block and a half per contest. Not a guy that's going to be stretching the floor at 6'10", 275. He has decided that he is going to be joining Portland, and this is going to be really good for a Pilots team that, if you're looking at their one main kryptonite, it was the fact that they weren't necessarily great on the glass, but guys like Chris Austin, Tyler Robertson out there in that backcourt, they were very solid. Now they've got a little bit more of a rim protector to go with it. Portland building some nice things. Joey St. Pierre, the latest to be able to add to that. So I really like what Shante Leggins is doing. Another great gift for them. Grant Slatton, he was playing this last season at Ole Miss. Well, he was on the Ole Miss roster. A little bit of a walk-on guy that wound up seeing action in 6 games, put up 0.7 points per contest. He decided that he is going to be going to Tennessee Tech. So Tennessee Tech winds up losing one gentleman, and they wind up picking up another with Slatton. This is someone that just was not necessarily highly touted in general. 24/7 Sports had him as right around a 235th ranked recruit in the country. Actually, he's from Sparta, Tennessee, so he's from the area. At 6'5", he's able to shoot the three well. He needs to work on his overall well-rounded game, not necessarily an elite athlete, not a guy that's going to go out there, give you a bunch of rebounds, but certainly someone that, for Tennessee Tech standards, is going to be able to make a little bit of a difference. So he should be able to come in, and he should be able to help out a team that, I'm going to call it what it is, has been towards the bottom of the Ohio Valley Conference for the last few years. Jonah Guerin, he has decided that he is going to be transferring away from Washington. Just did not wind up seeing much playing time whatsoever. He's been on the Washington roster since the 2018-19 season. Has seen 2 games, scored as many points as myself. Pretty much a total walk-on. So he has decided that he is going to be leaving that program. Not too much of a surprise there. This one should be a little bit of an elevator. Brandon Johns, he was playing at Michigan this last season. He's decided that he is going to be going to VCU. Now, the big thing for Johns is being able to generate some steals, because that is really the forte of VCU. But someone that during the class of 2018 was ranked in the top 75 by ESPN and really had his best year during the 2019-20 season. That year, 6 points, 4 rebounds per game, shot right around 34.5% from 3-point range, and you take a look at him overall in his Michigan career, shot right around 33% from distance, just had a little bit of a tough time carving out a little bit of a niche on this team. Was a little bit more of a defensive stopper, but him going to VCU as a 6'8", little bit of a combo player, that's really going to be able to help them out. VCU always likes to play a little bit faster. They like to have that versatility with their defense. He should be able to provide that. I think that this is going to be a tremendous fit for them. I know that on the way out, Sean Paul was mentioning this one. Tristan Inaruna, who has spent a lot of time out there in the Big 12, wound up beginning his career at Kansas, was playing at Iowa State this last season. He decided that he is going to be going to Cleveland State. Not an elite scorer by any stretch of the imagination. Actually wound up seeing 26 starts at Iowa State, averaged right around 4.5 points, 3 rebounds per contest, 30% three-point shooter, 6'8", gentleman that does a good job being able to guard multiple positions. He's heading over to Cleveland State. Cleveland State has been very good with their defense. Offense has been a little bit suspect with them. He certainly is going to be able to fit that style. I think that he's going to come in. He's going to be able to make some very nice contributions right off the bat. So Cleveland State getting themselves a former top 100 recruit. They cannot complain about that one bit. That is going to be elevating them out there in a Horizon League that has been down in recent years. Something that has not necessarily been up, that would be NJIT. It's been a rough last few years for them. And Antoine Butler, who has spent a lot of time starting for them, also with Austin Peay, has decided that he's going to be hitting the transfer portal. This last year, while he was at NJIT, was really a primary ball handler for the team, 7.8 points, 4 boards, 2.5 assists to 1.5 turnovers per game, not an elite 3-point shooter, but shot 33% from 3-point range. So nothing great, nothing terrible. Someone that has proven that he's capable of being a little bit more of a bowling ball style guard, 6-footer that weighs right around 205, 210. He's decided that he's going to be entering in the transfer portal. Got to figure that maybe a team at a lower level is going to be interested in him. Got to figure that there's going to be some interest here, as we wound up seeing another gentleman from the American East decide that he is going to be transferring out, and that'd be Elijah Olani. Just wound up having this last season marred by injuries. Only wound up being able to play 7 games for this team. If you look at his last full season while he was at Stony Brook, that'd be the 2019-20 season before spending a year at Miami, where he did wind up averaging 10.5 points per contest. 3-point shooting percentage was not there, but I mean, out there in the ACC, he was a double-figure scorer. But during the 2019-20 season at the lower level for Stony Brook, 18 points, 6.5 boards, 2 assists, steal and a half per game while shooting 36% from 3, as a 6'5" Swiss Army knife, do it all sort of player. He is someone that can really make an impact on a little bit of a smaller level team. And if he does wind up deciding that he wants to go back up a level, he's already proven at Miami that he is able to give you 10 points per game. So got to figure that there's going to be quite a bit of interest there. Carter Jernigan, he has decided that he is going from USC Upstate, and he is going to be going to Johnson C. Smith. That is the 91 level. And there was a lot of promise around Jernigan after his freshman year during the 2019-20 season. Wound up seeing 11 starts as a freshman, 4.5 points, 3 rebounds per game. Was never a great 3-point shooter, but guy that could dish out the ball a little bit. Just wound up never being able to get those minutes afterwards, so that wound up being a little bit of a tough situation for them. So he has decided that he is going to be transferring out of the fold. Nick Kittle, he is someone that has decided to transfer as well. He was playing at Indiana State this last season, and he's going to be going down to the 91 level of Southern Illinois. So this is going to be a case in which you just wind up noting that Mr. Hiddle, he last year at Indiana State, averaged right around 3 points per contest, was actually a 41% 3-point shooter at 6'10", but he is no longer with the program. This is on your list of guys that you no longer need to evaluate. You can just cross him off your list and move on. Nice, clean, and easy there. So you wish him nothing but the best, but that makes your work nice and easy there. You wind up seeing a pair of gentlemen from Furman decide that they were going to be transferring away, as this one's a little bit of a surprise. Jalen Pugh, who I thought had the potential to really be able to give this Furman team a little bit of something during the 2020-21 season, averaged right around 4 points per contest while shooting 40% from 3. Saw a big dip in production this last season. He has decided that he is going to be going down to the 91 level, and he's going to be playing for Lander College. And then Carson Newman is going to be picking up Ben Beaker this last season. Well, he wound up putting up a half a point, right around a rebound per contest. Someone who just throughout his Furman career never really could see a lot of playing time. So both of these gentlemen, because they weren't necessarily a fit with the program, they've decided that they are going to be going down to the 91 level. So those are nice, clean, and easy there as well. Bryce Beamer, he has decided that he is going down to the 91 level. A little bit surprising here, as he actually wound up starting some games at Binghamton during the 2020-21 season. Had 7.5 points, 4 boards per contest, not a great 3-point shooter at 30%, but certainly saw his minutes. And then this last season, a little bit of a slash with regards to production, 4 points per contest, but was able to shoot 90% at the free throw line, 34% from 3. Actually began his play at College of Central Florida at the junior college level, so he decided that he's going to be going to Francis Marion. Francis Marion, that is a 91 school, and should be a little bit closer at home on this one, because Francis Marion, they wind up going up against places like Belmont Abbey. They're a little bit more out there in the northeast part of the country. I believe that they also play Mount Olive, so you wish him nothing but the best. Someone who looked to have a little bit of promise with Binghamton has decided that he is going to be out of the fold. Josiah Freeman, he was playing at Western Michigan this last season. He has decided that he is going to be transferring away. With Josiah Freeman, a little bit of an interesting case here because I thought that he had a chance to be able to do some good things with Western Michigan. Wound up starting 19 games this last season. Production with regards to scoring just was not there. Right around 4.5 points per contest. Was a plus defender in two seasons at Western Michigan as well. Shot 37.5% from three-point range, but really couldn't do anything other than shoot. Wasn't necessarily a guy that was going to be able to dole out the ball. Not a guy that wound up hitting the glass too much, so he has decided that he is going to be transferring out of the program. You wound up seeing Norbert Thelson. He has decided that he is going to be transferring away from Utah State for Thelson. He's 6'7", someone with a relatively big body, but just could not wind up finding minutes with Utah State. Only wound up averaging a half a point and a half a rebound per contest. Thought that maybe you'd see a little bit more minutes for him with guys like Brandon Horvath and also Justin Bean being a little bit lower on eligibility, but looks like that is not going to be the case for him, so he's going to look to find a place elsewhere in which he's able to perform. Cameron Jones this last season, he was playing at St. Francis Brooklyn. He has decided that he is going to be transferring away. The Cameron Jones at South Carolina State wound up averaging 11 points per contest. He was actually rock solid for them, but the gentleman that was playing at St. Francis of Brooklyn just did not wind up having as much production. This is someone that he did wind up playing quite a few games out there in the MEAC, and I believe that he wound up beginning his career at St. Peter's last year, in which he was active during the 2019-20 season. After right around 3.5 points per contest, career 33.5% three-point shooter, but him being out of the game for about a full year, that is going to be affecting him a little bit, so going to be interesting to see what winds up happening there, because you've got a track record of production, but you've also got a track record of someone that has been out of the fold for a little bit, and very long in the tooth as he wound up playing his first college basketball season during the 2015-16 year. To put that into perspective, I wound up graduating from UW Oshkosh during the 2015 season, so that was quite a while ago. This is one in which it's very hard to say. Aladine Butabe. He has decided that he is going to be transferring away from Florida State, and he is going to be heading elsewhere. It's someone that just did not wind up seeing the floor at all last season, and it's one of those guys in which they were taking a little bit of a roll of the dice on, and you know what? They just wound up coming up snake eyes on this one, so he has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal, and going to be very interesting to see who some of his suitors are, because you take a look at 24/7 Sports and some of their recruiting grades, and he was a little bit of a man of mystery, a guy that was a big man that was coming over from France. He was able to be a good plus defender for the under-21 Le Mans basket team. So, yeah, you're taking a look at a big giant man of mystery, someone who he's got a lot of raw production with regards to just his physical attributes, but at the same time, he's sort of like Bigfoot. We've all heard of him. Nobody's actually seen him. So that is going to be interesting to take a look at. Linton Brown, we have seen a little bit about this gentleman. He's playing at St. Bonaventure this last year. Looked like he was going to get a little bit of playing time, but only wound up seeing action in 10 games, wound up putting up 3 points per contest. He decided that he is going to be transferring away from St. Bonaventure. And right now, if St. Bonaventure winds up losing the guys that they might in the NBA draft, like Oshun Oshuni and Jalen Attaway, this is going to be a really, really bad time for them, because they were playing pretty much a five-man rotation, and all the guys that weren't a part of that five-man rotation, they are now transferring out of the fold. So going to be very interesting to see what happens with them, because if they wind up bringing back everyone, they're going to be in good shape. If they don't wind up bringing back everyone, it's a great and total rebuild. So that is going to be one that we're going to be taking note of. Miles Miller, taking note of him, he has decided that he is going from Lipscomb to Mississippi College, and he wound up starting 15 games during the 2019-20 season while he was at Lipscomb. Problem was, he was a little bit more of a defensive stopper, didn't really play a lot with regards to being able to contribute on offense, right around 3 points per contest, so he has decided that he is going to be going down to the non-D1 level. Emmanuel White, he has decided that he is going to be stepping down to Western New Mexico himself. White last season was playing at UTEP, wound up putting up right around a point and a half per contest, did wind up seeing a few more minutes late during their basketball classic run and things of that nature, but someone that could not wind up finding his footing while he was at UTEP, not necessarily a guy that was overly highly touted. as a recruit as well. So he has decided that he is going to be just seeing some more minutes in general. Going down to the 91 level, you're seeing that with Alex Fargo as well, someone who averaged fewer than 3 points per game at Youngstown State, just wasn't really able to get out there on the floor. He has decided that he is going to be going down to the 91 level. Kai Kussmayer, he was playing at Bryant this last season, and with Bryant bringing in all the transfers that they have been, you did figure that there was going to be some guys that decide, you know what, no longer for me. He averaged right around 4 points per contest. While he was at Bryant, he has decided that he is going to be going down to the 91 level, and he's going to be going to Wilson State College. Someone who had 6'8" is able to pop a couple threes, a little bit inconsistent with those, so you wish him nothing but the best, but he decided that he is going to be going down to the 91 level, and we wound up seeing Kyle Young transfer. No, not the Kyle Young that you know and love from his time with the Ohio State Buckeyes, but the gentleman who was at Siena and wound up seeing a few minutes. He did wind up during the 2020-21 season, sat out this last year, averaging 6 points, 3.5 rebounds per game. Not a guy that was going to stretch the floor and shoot threes, but at 6'9", 240, wound up putting up some relatively solid numbers at Siena, and he's going to Flagler College, which you may recall a few seasons ago, Flagler College wound up knocking off like 3 D1 schools, including Central Michigan, so they've actually had a little bit of a track record of success. Going to be interesting to see if he's going to be able to make some good production over there, and it's going to be interesting to see if Juwan Gary is going to be able to help Nebraska turn things around, as we were talking in the last segment with Sean Paul about the fact that the Big Ten has not necessarily done a lot in the transfer portal. This might be the best addition aside from what we're going to be seeing out of Dawson Garcia entering into this conference thus far. Juwan Gary, who is a former top 100 recruit, has decided to go to Nebraska, 6.5 points, 3.5 rebounds per contest while he was over there at Alabama this last season. 6'6" combo player that needs to work on shooting threes, and Nebraska, as long as you've had Fred Hoiberg at the helm, they haven't necessarily been able to have a lot of 3-point shooting, but him being able to come in, be able to give this team some good solid defense, which that is something that they've needed as well, should be able to really help this team out. So he has decided that he is going to be going to Nebraska. Derek Fountain, what a great name. He has decided that he is going to be trying to find the fountain of youth with LSU. While he was with Mississippi State during the 2020-21 season, wound up starting 10 games that season, 5.5 points, 3 rebounds per contest, shot 38.5% for 3-point range, 6'9" combo player that this last season at Mississippi State, because he wound up having guys like DJ Jeffries, Tolu Smith in the fold, he just wound up becoming an afterthought with only 2 points per contest, decided to transfer elsewhere, and he's going to be rolling the dice on Ryan McMahon and company going over there to LSU. I think that this is going to be a very good fit. McMahon, while he was over there with Murray State, he really relied upon KJ Williams, a guy with similar size, obviously a little bit more build in general, but was able to rely upon him to really be able to space out the floor. Got to think that he's probably going to try to use him in a little bit of a similar form. London Riley, who just wound up seeing no minutes whatsoever at Alabama A&M, he's going to Georgia Highlands College. That's another one that is very easy for your handicap. And then you wound up seeing Hassan Diaria. He was playing at Texas A&M this last season. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal as well, as we wound up seeing quite a few guys from the state of Texas decide to transfer on Thursday. Diaria wound up playing all 40 games for Texas A&M. Last few seasons, his average right around 6 points per contest. Not a guy that did a great job of hitting the glass, only about 2 rebounds per game, and did shoot right around 32% for three. Someone that came in off the bench, was able to give the team some scoring, and a former top 100 recruit needs to work a little bit more on just being able to give this team a little bit more from the perimeter in general, but a good on-ball defender. Got to figure that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be interested in him in the transfer portal. You figure that there's going to be quite a few people that are going to be interested in Joy Madeba as well. Someone who was playing at Tarleton State was a part of just that psycho zone defense that they wound up averaging a steal per game during the 2020-21 season as a little bit of a 6'5" combo player. Decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal, wound up sitting out this last season, so going to be fascinating to see where he winds up ending up. Corian Russian, he is someone that has seen no shortage of schools in his time. Beginning his career at Idaho State, now he was at Chicago State this last season, and did a solid job at Chicago State this last year. 10 points, 7 rebounds per game for a team that was relatively allergic to rebounding. He decided that he's going to be entering in the transfer portal. I don't think that he's going to be going by any stretch of the imagination to some sort of a power school or anything like that, but the fact that he was able to do what he was able to do for a Chicago State team that was very poor on the interior, I do think that that's relatively impressive, and I do think that that is going to be standing out to some folks, and we have seen guys from Chicago State wind up being able to transfer up a little bit, so he has decided that he is going to be going elsewhere. Sam Mervis, he was playing at Indiana State, he has decided that he is going to be going elsewhere as well. Mervis, in 2 seasons at Indiana State, only wound up averaging right around 0.5 points per contest, really could not wind up finding a lot of consistent playing time whatsoever, so he's going to be trying to find little bit of a home in which he can, at 5'11", a little bit more of a facilitator, not a guy that's going to go out there, shoot a bunch of threes or anything like that. So going to be interesting to see what his prospects are. Ricky Council, the Forest prospects, should be relatively solid. Wichita State, they have been very active in the transfer portal. They've lost a lot of guys. They've picked up quite a few guys. And Council this last year, 12 points and 5.5 rebounds per game. Now, his three-point shooting wound up taking a massive dive. With more usage, wound up seeing less efficient shooting. Shot 44.5% from three-point range during the 2020-21 season. This year, more around 30.5% as a 6'6" combo player, but very good plus defender. He was the sixth man of the year out there in the American. So, someone with a lot of ability. He's out there in the transfer portal. Got to figure that there's going to be no shortage of folks that are going to want to try to be able to add him to their roster. Ryan Conway, he just did not wind up playing whatsoever. Had seen all this last season. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. Not a guy by any stretch of the imagination was any sort of a five-star guy, but he is someone that, with regards to the class of 2021, was ranked 161st. Someone that does a good job of being able to dish out the ball, needs to work a little bit on his outside shooting. Not necessarily the world's biggest guy at 6'1", but you got to figure that there's going to be quite a few schools that they're going to want to roll the dice on him, be able to maybe strike it big with a guy that maybe they wouldn't have been able to get with regards to recruiting, but now he's been pretty much sidelined for a year. Now they've got a little bit of an opportunity if he winds up going down to a little bit of a lower level. Jordan and Ivy Curry. At a little bit of a lower level, he was able to be very good this last season. Wound up at UTSA, being able to average 14 points, 2.5 assists per contest, shot right around 34% from three-point range, and in two seasons, shot a grand total of 38%. From 3 years, decided that he is going to be going to New Mexico State. And New Mexico State is going to be down this year. You just don't wind up losing a coach of the caliber of Chris Jans, and you just wind up being able to pick it up and being all happy-go-lucky or anything like that. But you do take a look at what New Mexico State has been able to do in recent days, and it's been rather impressive what they've been able to compile. This is always a school that they're very active with regards to bringing in junior college guys, and DeJuan Gordon, someone who was playing at Missouri last season and was legitimately Missouri's best three-point shooter, he is coming into the fold as well. So I do like what they've been able to do with that regard, and I do like what Georgia State is doing. They did wind up hiring on Jonas Hayes, who wound up leading Xavier to their NIT win, and now they've got Jermaine Mann, who is playing this last season at Vanderbilt, and he is going to be coming aboard, and hey, Xavier wound up knocking off Vanderbilt in the NIT, so I guess if you can't beat him, join him with Mann. He was playing at Gardner-Webb during his first year of college basketball and really didn't put up big numbers at Gardner-Webb. 7 points, 5.5 rebounds per game, took the step up to Vanderbilt, and I feel like he actually did a little bit better than expected. 4.5 points, 3.5 rebounds per game. Not a guy that's going to go out there and shoot it from three-point range, but 6'6", a little bit of a defensive stopper. I think that Georgia State is going to be playing a relatively fast style, but I think that they're going to really want to dig in their heels on defense, and this is a gentleman that is going to be able to help them do that. So I think that this is going to be a very solid addition there. Naheem Aline, he was this last year playing at Virginia Tech, wound up averaging 9.5 points per contest, and in his 3 years at Virginia Tech, wound up starting 84 games, a career 38.5% three-point shooter. The 37.3% they wound up having this season was actually his career low. He has decided that he's going to be going to UConn, and UConn, a little bit more of a defense-oriented team, but a team that always likes to be able to have guys who are able to knock it down from three-point range. He's able to do so. Virginia Tech is a team that they play a very slow, very methodical style. This is a UConn bunch of which they're more of a mid-ish tempo team. They look to kick it up a little bit more. I do think that Aline is going to be able to pick up on the defense, and if he could continue the three-point shooting they wound up having at Virginia Tech, he's going to be a solid fit. And then we were talking about this with our good friend Sean Paul, the fact that Eric Hunter Jr. decided that he is going to be transferring away from Purdue, and for Purdue, they just didn't wind up utilizing him very well. During the 2019-20 season, 2 seasons ago, it was his best year with 10.5 points per contest, shot 35.5% from three-point range. He did shoot 43.5% from 3-0, but he only wound up putting up 6 points, 2 assists per contest, wound up seeing his minutes decline each out of the last 3 seasons, was an all Big Ten defensive performer, but they didn't necessarily utilize him to his best because this year, last year, Purdue's defense stunk, and I just wonder what Matt Painter is trying to accomplish over there at Purdue, because he wound up recruiting big and then he didn't wind up going big in the NCAA tournament. I think that it's very fair to question what Matt Painter is doing over there at Purdue, and I think that Eric Hunter's transfer is leading to the fact that, yeah, not everyone's on the same page, along with the Aaron Wheeler transfer that we wound up seeing a season ago as well. And then we did wind up seeing a couple NBA draft decisions on Thursday as well. Adam Flagler, he has decided that he is going to be going for the NBA draft, but he is going to be maintaining his eligibility. I think that there is a very solid chance that he does wind up coming back to Baylor, because this is someone that he doesn't necessarily grade out the world's best when it comes to a lot of these mock drafts, because he's a very good shooter. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. This last season, wound up shooting 39% from 3 seasons before, and Baylor shot right around 43.5% from 3-point range, and this last year did wind up putting up 14 points per game. Not a guy that's really going to hit the glass. Okay as a facilitator, right around 3 assists per game, but I do feel like he needs to add a little bit more versatility with regards to his game, so wouldn't be surprised if he winds up coming back, but he has decided that he is going to be declaring for the NBA draft. This is one in which I thought we were going to be saying this a few years ago, but Wendell Moore, he has decided that he is going to be declaring for the NBA draft. No question, this was what we were expecting, a former top 30 recruit that he really wound up being able to put it together this last year. 13.5 points, 5.5 boards, 4.5 assists, steal and a half per contest, all on 1.9 turnovers per game, shot 41.5% from 3-point range, was able to shoot up draft boards this last year after his first few years on campus. They were a little bit underachieving, so that is very good on him for being able to work things up, and you got to figure that he's going to be able to make a lot of coin out there in the NBA. You did wind up also seeing another transfer with Tyler Stevenson. He was playing this last year at Southern Miss, 14.5 points, 7.5 boards per contest. He's going to be going to play for Luke Jokic over there at UIC. UIC has been looking to play a little bit more of a defense-oriented style. It's been a little bit of a rough go of it for them to begin the season, but that said, it's been a little bit of a rough go of it for them in the first couple years under Jokic, but being able to get in a guy like this that is able to clog things up down low should be able to help out their defense. And for Stevenson, he is going from a Southern Miss program that they were one of the worst teams in terms of defense in all of college basketball, but I don't think that that was necessarily their fault. Georgia wound up being able to land a former top runner recruit as well, Jashaun Holt. He's a 6'6" combo player that just did not wind up seeing the floor whatsoever for Alabama this last year. Wound up averaging right around 1.6 rebounds, less than a point per game, but he is going to play for Georgia, and Georgia has been very active out there in the transfer portal, and this is someone that he is from the state of Georgia. They wound up whiffing on him the first time. He's able to have good size for a wing that is able to shoot it well from 3-point range, so I take a look at this addition for Georgia. Mike White, he seems to be doing a great job of being able to recruit, and I think that that is going to be very big for them moving forward. And this is also big. Gideon George, a guy that last year at BYU was able to put up 8.5 points per contest, 5-plus rebounds. He has decided that he is going to be withdrawing from the transfer portal. He is going to be heading back to BYU. BYU wound up seeing a lot of guys like even Kevin Baxter decide to enter into the transfer portal. I believe that you wound up seeing Fusani Traer enter in as well in recent days. One of them being able to pull back is big, and I do think that George has perhaps some of the most upside of any of these guys. And here is something that is not shocking whatsoever. Chet Holmgren, the number one recruit in the class of 2021. He's decided to declare for the NBA draft. He's going to be a top five pick, 14 points, 3.5 blocks, 10 board shot, 39% from three as a 7-footer. If any of you guys are surprised by this news, I really do not know what to tell you, but he decided that he is going to be entering into the NBA draft. And the other guy that wound up entering into the NBA draft, this one is a little bit more, I guess you'd call it shocking, but it really isn't. Ty Etienne, who you were thinking that he was really going to be able to elevate his stock throughout the season. By the way, Andrew Nembhard of Gonzaga, he also decided to declare for the NBA draft. You saw that coming. He was one of the best point guards in all of college basketball, someone that was able to do all 5-plus assists with fewer than 2 turnovers per game. You figured that he was as good as gone, but with Etienne, I don't know if he's going to be maintaining his eligibility or not. I certainly do think so, because he wanted to take a dip this last season. During the 2020-21 season, you figured that he would declare after that year, because he averaged 16.5 points per contest, shot 39.5% from three. He shot 32.5% from 3-point range this season. Now, he was dealing with some non-COVID illnesses towards the beginning part of the season, was a little bit just generally banged up, and he did wind up playing a little bit better towards the back half of the season. You take a look at it from January 29th on, he wound up having double figures in each of the team's last 11 games, 15.5 points per contest, shot 35% from 3-point range on 8.5 threes per contest, but he just was not the same player that he was during that 2020-21 season. So it's going to be fascinating to see what happens, because if he does wind up withdrawing from the NBA draft, does he wind up going into the transfer portal? And we're taking a look at that and so much more here on this podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, getting you all set for the upcoming college basketball season. So if you do like what you're hearing on this show, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you've got a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at gunit_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these in into the timeline, and the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to find whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via the 5-star review. Big thanks to Sean Paul of Making the Madness for joining me in the second segment. That's a terrific podcast. Does also great work with the Field of 68, and I'll be coming at you guys every single day, getting you guys all caught up when it comes to college basketball news and notes in the offseason. Then once we get into the season, makes an analysis on every single game, every single day. So I'll catch you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.